Father, as always, I thank you for the entrance of your word, gives light and gives understanding to the simple. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord, for bringing us to fellowship together even this morning. Praise the Lord. We thank you, Lord, for those who are ready in the afternoon session as well. Grace and peace to all in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Well, good to see you, everyone. Good to see you, Tricia. Thank you for joining us on stage. Praise the Lord. All right. I want to talk for just a little bit today. Still part of our belief series. First thing I want to remind us is that faith will see the promise. Well, faith can see the promise. Faith sees the promise. But believing is what's going to get you there. You know, so faith sees the promise afar off, but believing is what you is going to get you there. That's what I've been talking about, this believing series. And those of you who are here last week or whatever, you know, we've been dealing on that anatomy of faith and the series and so forth. Today, I want to talk on the subject of from the place where you are. For you to see new horizons. That's right. So we're going to look at the story and the experience of one man in particular and how God said this to Abraham. We're going to look at that. And I want to let you know right away that God deals with you in the place, where you are. Not in your past. Now, many of us were held back because of our past. God is not dealing with you with your past. In fact, I'll tell you a couple of quick stories before we even get started. Some of God's greatest generals in that Bible, you know, they did some things in their past. And when God started to deal with them, you know, he didn't even, you know, call that out, as far as we know. You know, that was in the past, and he's dealing with them now in the present. Moses was one such person. I mean, you know, Moses had it himself to be a deliverer, and he knew it, you know, because when he began to understand that he was really, you know, from, you know, the Jewish people, even though he was raised and brought up in the house of Pharaoh, you know, he took the law into his hands to try to help his people. And you know the story. Ended up killing an Egyptian. He had to run for it when it was mentioned the next day. And by the time God will deal with him, we don't even see God calling that to bear. To say, oh, you know, this is what you did. And you ran away and so forth and all that. You know, and he had already dealt with it himself. 40 years in the wilderness. And by the time he encountered the pillar of fire in the burning bush, God wasn't even talking about that anymore. Well, that's a lesson for some of us to learn. Because we're always, you know, allowing our past to hold us back. You know, but God is not dealing with you in your past. It's dealing with you in the now. Hallelujah. Now, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us, not only forgive us our sins, but actually to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You know, so will you trust him that he has forgiven you of your sins? And then you need to move on. You know, so that we are not held back because of the past. You know, what God wants to do for you, through you, for his glory in your life, you know, may be prevented if we're still constantly dealing in the past. So we need to move on. You know, that other stories that I can tell you, but let me go on to the story of this one, Abraham, And you know, some of you may know his story. When the Lord called him to go to a place he didn't know, God called him alone. You know, that's it. There are many things to learn in his lesson. God called Abraham alone. You know, and he told him, get out of, you know, where he was, his people, and so forth, and he would go to a place. Now, he didn't know where he was going, but he believed God, you know. And so, the Bible says that because he believed God, well, God called it righteousness, you know, for him. There are many stories about Abraham, how God talked to him, even when his name was yet Abraham. You know, in Genesis chapter 11, we see the story of the Tower of Babel. When all the people wanted to be great, wanted to build a tower to heaven and all that. And of course, the Lord scattered them. But we turn around and look at Genesis chapter 12. The next chapter, here was a man called Abraham at the time, who wasn't trying to be great or trying to be anything. You know, he was just, you know, you might say, you know, minding his business. But the Lord called him. Hallelujah. And here's what the Lord said to him. Now, the Lord had said unto Abraham, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. Well, that's what the Lord told him. And I will make thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. I'll bless them that bless thee and curse him that curseth thee. And in all, you know, all the families of the earth will be blessed in you. Now, so Abraham departed. The Lord had spoken to him, and Lot went with him. Well, God didn't actually call Lot with him. He said, depart, get out away from your kindred, which actually includes Lot or anything or anyone. But, you know, out of the goodness of his heart, because Lot was his nephew and Lot's father was dead. So Abraham was kind of responsible or felt responsible for Lot. So he took him along. Well, that didn't quite work out, as you know, the rest of the story. You know, and after a while, you know, Lot actually increased in substance. Abraham increased in substance. And their two companies could not dwell together. And a lot of things happened. You know, so, well, at one point, Abraham finally said, look, because there is a strife between my herdsmen and your herdsmen, talk to Lot. He said to him, look, let there be no strife. That's Genesis 13. Between me and thee, between my herdsmen and thy herdsmen, for we are brethren. Look, is not the whole land before you? Separate thyself. Now, remember, God called Abraham alone. You know, and what God wanted to do with him, for him, and through him, he couldn't really do it until he got to back to the place where God called him, which is alone. That's right. And that's unique in this particular case. Now, so, and then Abraham said to Lot, look, choose whichever way you want to go. Take a look at the whole land. And there was something in the heart of Abraham. And I want to tell you this too. God can use even your mistakes. That's what people don't know that. People don't trust the Lord enough to know that God is eternal and God is sovereign. And even the mistake that you make today, God already knew about it years ago. We're not encouraging you to make mistakes. You should walk in wisdom. But nevertheless, the hand of the Lord is upon you and he will guide you even through the mistakes. That's why we shouldn't let any mistake hold you back. Now, this man said, look, separate yourself, choose whichever one you want to go. You go left, I'll go right. You go right, I'll go left. But there's no need for us to fight. Look, there's plenty of, you know, the stuff to go around. And so Lot looked at up his eyes and beheld the plain of Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere. You know, this was before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. You can read that in Genesis 13 and verse 10. You know, so it looked like the Garden of Eden. I mean, the place looked good. So Lot said, well, I'm going to choose that. Abraham said, that's cool. You know, he actually preferred, you know, like the scripture says, in honor, preferring one another. He said, well, you choose first. Whatever you choose, I'll go the other way. You choose the good, I'll go to the, you know, you choose the right, I'll go to the left. Choose the left, I'll go to. He wasn't concerned that Lot would choose the best. He didn't care. You know, he knew that the Lord, you know, would take care of him anyway. So finally, you know, when the Lot had chosen all the plain of Jordan and journeyed eastward, and they separated themselves, the one from the other, now the Lord has Abraham where he wanted him in the first place. So Abraham dwelt in the land of Canaan, and Lot dwelt in the cities of the plain, and pitched his tent towards Sodom. You know, now the men of Sodom were wicked. Now this was something Lot didn't know. You know, but he just thought that, you know, the land looked green. Well, not all that glitters is gold. You know, you better follow the leading of the Lord. Don't just follow your eyes. Follow the leading of the Lord. Lot followed his eyes. And, you know, he was in a bad situation when he got down to the place where he thought was really good. Now, that's a lesson for us to even learn there. Sometimes when we are trying to make choices, career choices, job offers and different things like that, don't follow your eyes. Follow the Lord. You know, because, you know, things may look good on the outside. You don't know how it's going to turn out. God's the one that knows everything. So we really ought to pray and say, Lord, you know the future. I don't. So help me make the right choice. You know, don't just let your eyes, you know, draw you in. Say, oh, this one looks good. This offer looks better. Well, maybe, maybe not. You don't know which way it's actually going to turn out. You know, the land that was before Lot looked, you know, very good, but he ended up in a big mess when he got there. You know, got inside with wicked people, you know, so wicked at the end that God had to actually destroy the place, and Lot vexed his soul every day. Sometimes when we make the wrong choices, because, you know, we just go by the how we see things on the outside, well, you may end up with a situation where you vex your soul every day. So that's a hidden lesson in that as well. You know, but back to the story of Abraham. Now, when Abraham, after that Lot had separated himself, well, here's what the Lord finally said to Abraham. Now, I got you where I wanted you in the first place. Genesis 13 and 14. And the Lord said to Abraham, after that Lot was separated from him. Now God got Abraham's attention right back where he wanted him in the first place. Now, all those lost years, doesn't matter. You know, God's able to fix that. But you got to be in the right place. You know, the place where God wants you to be is where you got to be. You can't be someplace else or embellish or add to what God wants to do. No. So finally, you know, it's right back to being alone. And God said to him, and this is where we take our text from today for the lesson. You know, and the Lord said to him, lift up now thine eyes, Genesis 13 and 14, and look from the place where you are. Now, forget the past. We don't know how long he, you know, happened between him and Lot, all that time. We're not told exactly how long it was, but however long it was, God was not even dealing with that. God didn't even tell him, look, I called you alone. I didn't tell you to drag Lot along. You did. Look at where he ended you. God wasn't saying any of that. You know, now that you are back where God wants you, he's going to deal with you in the now. Hallelujah. You know, God doesn't deal with you in the past. Deals with you in the now. Despite the mistake of taking Lot along, it was a good heart, actually. But it didn't turn out well. I mean, if it was meant to be, then they would have continued together. It wasn't meant to be. That was just his own thought. But he did the right thing. God knew his heart. He was kind to his nephew and everything, but that's not what God wanted. Sometimes some of these folks hang around you. They'll be distractions. You got to cut yourself loose. And that's what God told him. Get away from your kindred. Didn't tell you take anybody along, but he did it. And God, you know, that's okay. You know, he spent quite some time, you know, going around in circles. Couldn't really get to, he ended up in a lot of strife and everything. But finally, God's got him now back right where he started. Alone. And so God said to him, from the place where you are, not where you were. And that's the lesson I want to share with us today. Praise the Lord. From the place where you are. And the Lord said to him, look around you, ahead of you. Lift up now thine eyes and look northward, southward, eastward, and westward. For all the land that you can see, will I give to you and to thy seed forever. Well, but first, you got to see it. You got to see it. And I like to call it faith horizons. You know, and a horizon is that imaginary line where it appears as if the sky meets the ground. You know, and there's actually a mathematical formula for calculating an horizon. The distance of the horizon to the place where you are right now. You know, but I won't bore you with that. But if you want to look it up, as a mathematical formula for calculating that. And it's actually based on the height of where you are. You may be surprised that that is how it actually is. You know, the higher you go up, the further out you can actually see. This formula says, you know, 1.7 times the square root of the height from the ground to your eyes. So you can see that there's a constant, 1.7, but there is a variable, which is the height. You know, so, you know, it means as you go higher, you know, because it's taking a square root of the thing, the square root increases as the number that you are taking square root of increases. The simple formula. Now, if you're at sea level or ground level, there may be a lot of things actually blocking your view. You know, if there's any trees or houses or whatever in front of you, you can't really see, you know, too far ahead because they're obstructing your view. Now, if you climb up to a 4 or 5 or 10 story building, you know, maybe you'll be above most of the obstacles that are obscuring your view. And maybe you'll be able to see further out. But even if the land was plain, you know, because it was plain in the days of Abraham and Lot. It looked at the plains of Jordan. It looked at everything. Even if the land was plain, you got to climb up higher in order to see further out. You know, and the many articles that you can even find on that, if you look it up in the internet. But I don't want to get carried away with that. I want to stay with this message. Now, if you climb up higher enough, you'll see further out. Suffice to say that. You can try it out yourself. You know, and if you go up to a 100-story building, you'll be able to see much further out. The horizon will be much further out. In fact, you can almost see, you know, up to 5 miles out. Go that high. But if you're at lower level, you probably see, you know, a couple hundred feet out. And it seems as if the horizon is right there. What is that telling you? Well, you have to elevate your faith in order to see further out. You know, now, we've been talking about faith a great deal. But this lesson is about you God dealing with you right where you are. Not yesterday, not last week, not last year, but right here, right now. You know, God wants to show you something new. Praise the Lord. Isaiah 42 and verse 9. God wants to show you something new right where you are. And this is the lesson today. Now, we thank God for what God has blessed us with, how far He's left us, led us, and so forth. But look, behold, He said, the former things have come to pass. New things will I now declare. And before they spring forth, I will tell you of them. Praise God. So God is now declaring new things. Well, how did He say it in Isaiah 43 verses 18 and 19? Well, there's another way that He brings it out. And He says it here. He said, remember ye not the former things. Forget the old stuff. Get your hand, your finger off that rewind button. As I often say, forget that. That's gone. Can't change that anymore. God's not even dealing with you in your past. God's dealing with you right now. Praise God. And He said, look, neither consider the things of old. You know, the mistake you made in taking Lot along and so on and so forth. Even though God was prospering you, yet it ended up in strife and daily headaches and all kinds of things. All right, that's gone. That's in the past. Here's where you are right now. Glory to God. I will do a new thing, He said. Now it shall spring forth. And shall you not know it? Glory to God. God is going to make you to know it. You'll see it too. I will even make a way in the wilderness. Now, that's new. Rivers in the desert. Well, that's new. You know, when God begins to show you even more, the Lord said to Jeremiah, in Jeremiah chapter 33 and verse 3, He said, look, call unto me and I will show you new, great, and mighty things which you don't know. There's a lot of new things that the Lord showed when He came in His earthly ministry, when Jesus did. They brought to Jesus one woman caught in the middle of adultery in John chapter 8. Well, and they said, we have brought this woman. She was caught right in the middle of adultery. According to Moses, she should be stoned to death. But what do you say? They asked the Lord. You know. You know. And what Jesus did was something new. You know, it had never been seen before to let someone caught in the middle of the adultery go away scot-free. Stone her to death. That's what Moses said. And so Jesus, but He brought something new. The first among you that has no sin. Well, let him cast that first stone. And they couldn't do it. Now, grace. When you've been condemned, that's something new. God, Jesus showed that. First time around that He showed that. Wow. One by one, they left. You know. And He said, wow. And He asked the woman, well, where are your accusers? Has no one condemned you? And He said, no one, Lord. And the Lord said, well, neither do I condemn you. Now, God, go and do that no more. Don't go back to the past. Go forward. Leave that alone. Move forward. Hallelujah. Jesus said, I don't condemn you. You know, but from now going forward, I'm going to show you something new. A new life. Praise God. Now, what about redemption? When it's too late, far too late, or it seems like it's far too late. In Luke chapter 23, verses 39 to about 43, we see a story, you know, of Christ being crucified with two thieves with Him, one here, one there. And the one said to him, well, you know, after all, you are this and that. Why don't you save yourself and save us also? And the other one said, you are not even afraid to speak like this. This man is an innocent man, but we deserve what we got. He's called the thief on the cross. And he turned around and said to Jesus, Lord, remember me. Now, this is an incredible story. Lord, remember me when you come into thy kingdom. Obviously, this man had heard some of Jesus' teachings, but he never paid attention to it in his lifetime. He went in the way of rioting, wickedness, evil, thieving, stealing, robbing people, and so forth. And he got what he deserved. And he was crucified for it. And he, with his last breath, bleeding out, and so forth, he cried out to the Lord. My goodness. And you can see something new. Right there, somebody already condemned by the system, put to death already, just waiting for him to die on the cross. But Jesus said, not today. Hallelujah. Today, you will be with me in paradise. Because the man, he reached out for God's mercy, even at the last moment. Glory to God. And Jesus showed something new. Who ever heard of such a thing? That a condemned thief, you know, who by his own admission even admitted that he did all those things, never really repented or remorseful. We don't know if he was. But at the last moment, he had an opportunity to reach out to the Lord. And my goodness, did he ever get, did he ever get redemption? Now that's something new. It's something new. The Lord was all constantly showing people new. He found some people, you know, fishing and so forth. He said, come, follow me. I'll show you something new. You know, you've been used to fishing, you know, natural fish. Well, I'm going to turn you to fishers of men. You know, and there was something about him. There was something in his voice. There was something magnetic that drew these people. And he knew whom to call. Well, he spent hours, a whole night in prayer, actually, before he started to call his disciples. And he knew who to call. The Father showed him who to call. And as he called them, they came. And he showed them something new. Glory to God. Now, on and on and on and on, we see stories of people new. Let me tell you about some people who experienced some things new in the Bible. Enoch. One of my favorite characters, of course. He experienced something new. You know the story. I've told it multiple times. Everybody was dying and everybody said, we're waiting to die. Even Adam said, we're waiting to die. Because he told us that we will die when we do the thing he told us not to do. And we did the thing, so we know we are waiting to die. But Enoch, he figured out something new. Hallelujah. He experienced something new. He walked with God. And it was translated that he should not see death. Now that is something new. Noah also walked with God. And he experienced something new. In fact, in the time of Noah, there was the word of God that came to him that God was going to destroy the world or the earth because of the violence and wickedness, and God was sending rain to destroy. Now, there was never rain up to that point. Only a mist went out from the ground and watered the vegetation. You know, and when Noah was talking about it, who ever heard of such thing as rain? People didn't even know what rain meant. You know, and but God was going to show Noah something new. And did you know that by that time, all the animals were wild animals? They were all wild. You know, because the glory had departed from Adam. The animals were no longer sensing the glory of God. And they became wild. And at that time, God showed something new to Noah. Bring all the animals, the Lord said to him. Have them audition before you and pick out the best ones, two by two, and send them in the ark. And, you know, that was a sight to behold. That Noah could experience that after the fall, even when the animals had become wild. They obeyed Adam. I mean, Noah. He sent them into the ark and gave them directions. And they all behaved and calmed down. That was something new. You know, did not Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, we talked about them, did they not experience something new, walk in the midst of fire? Whoever heard of such a thing? You know, and they throw you, even the people that tried to throw them in, they were consumed. But they experienced something new. Daniel, you know, spent the night in the midst of violent lions, and he slept very peacefully. Well, that was something new. He never heard of any such thing. What about Moses at the Red Sea? Perhaps one of the most spectacular, visible miracles we ever saw in that Old Testament. The parting of the Red Sea. Well, even the children of Israel thought they were doomed. Even Pharaoh knew that they were doomed. At least that's what he thought in his heart. I got you right now where I want you. Your God told Moses, he's a poor general. Look at where he led you. You have nowhere to escape. I got you right where I want you. And the Lord suckered him in. And look at what happened. The children of Israel went through on dry land. Now that was something new. Elijah. He went in chariots of fire. You know, it never been heard that somebody will go up, you know, in heaven in a clap of thunder and a chariot of fire. Never been heard. But he did it. And even the people around him, they knew it was going to happen. They chided with Elisha and said, don't you know your master will be taken from your head today? We know it. We've seen the sign. We've seen it. We've heard it in the spirit. We know it's going to happen. Elijah said, shut up. I know it too. Just leave me alone. You know, and Elijah, went in the chariots of fire. You know, on and on and on. I tell you many, many, many examples of people that experience something new. From the place where you are, God's going to show you a new experience. Not where you've been, not what you've done, but where you've never been and what you haven't done, what you haven't experienced. Now, Abraham, he had experienced some blessing, you know, because he's herd and cattle actually increased and everything. But it was limited. But God's going to show him something new now. When he was with Lot, there was some blessing, but not quite the level to which God was calling him. Disciples, on the day of Acts chapter 2, the day of Pentecost, they were going to experience something new. Jesus said, look, you go and wait for the promise of the Father. Now, these disciples, they've gone out. They've healed the sick. They cast out devils. They even came back and told the Lord, now the devils are subject to us. And Jesus said, well, that's great. But remember, the fact that your names are written in the book of life is even greater. And so these disciples, they've done a lot of things, but they never experienced the cloven tongues of fire. Now that was something new that came to them on that day. Praise the Lord. What about Philip? He experienced something new. In Acts chapter 8, verses 39 to 40, bodily transportation. Now, that was something new. And now, Philip, he traveled from where he was, maybe perhaps Jerusalem, all the way to Samaria and so forth. Many days travel. You know, perhaps even weary by the time he got there. And everywhere they went before, you know, there was many days journey because they didn't have the kind of transportation means we have today, or means of transportation. But he experienced something new, you know. Bodily, physical transportation from one place to another by the Spirit of the Lord. He experienced it. Now, that was something new in his life. You know. Now, Peter, in Acts chapter 12, you'll notice that this message is a combination of two things. I'll tell you what they are in a minute. Tell you that, you know, God wants you to show you something new from where you are. And that you must enlarge your faith, increase your faith horizon to see greater things from the Lord. And that you will indeed experience something new. Now, Peter, in Acts chapter 12, Herod had actually grabbed a hold of James and killed him. And because he saw it pleased the people, got a hold of Peter as well. And supposing to bring him back after, you know, some feast they had, kept him in prison. Now, the first one took the disciples. He got them off guard. But this time around, they're going to pray all night. They started praying all night, and Peter would experience something new. Peter would experience something new. The angel of the Lord would come there, break the chains on his hands and feet, open the gates by himself, and he'd walk out. He thought it was in a trance. He experienced something new. Now, Jesus himself, you know, what he brought, or something new. All the sins of the world, from Adam till the time of Jesus, and even beyond, and all the guilty people, and so forth, because we are all condemned for all our sin and falling short of the glory of God. And the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And God would trade one righteous person, his son, to take the place of all the guilty people and all the sins of the world. Behold the Lamb of the world, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world. And people could not understand it even till this day. So people actually can't understand the fact that the Lord has forgiven their sins. It wasn't only the people, you know, up until the time of Christ. Well, if that was the case, then none of us have any chance of being saved. You know, Jesus, by the offering of himself once and for all, didn't need to do it time and time again. Didn't need to die for those people then and come back and die every year for more sinners. He did it one time. Now, that was something new. Never been heard. That you can make one sacrifice and cover the past and the future. That was something new. And through that, we now have the hope of, and not just even a hope, the promise of eternal life. Praise God. Now, having said all of that, so many things that God can show us. And I want to tell you a quick story here in Jeremiah 18, verses 1 to 4. You heard me say, God said to Jeremiah, you go down to the potter's house and you hear my words when you get there. And sometimes the Lord will allow some of these prophets to participate in the story that God was trying to show them. In this case, Jeremiah would participate in seeing something and God would tell him after he saw what he saw. And when he got to the potter's house, we are told he saw the potter making pottery, which is what he does. And this man was good at it. I mean, he's a professional. He knows his business. And he does that thing. He's been doing it for a long time. But this time around, as he was doing it, the pottery that he made, the clay was messed up in his hands. And that's what the Bible said. He was marred, which means messed up. But I mean, this man knew what he was doing. But, you know, this thing got bent out of shape. And he was marred right there in his hands. And Jeremiah was looking and said, well, what in the world is this? I thought this man only knows how to make clay. But yes, the potter, he made the clay and it was marred in his hands in verse 4, Jeremiah 18. And so he made it again, something new. Even as it pleased the potter to make it. And the Lord said to him, have you seen this thing that happened with the potter and the clay? Well, even so can I do unto you. Your life that's marred up, saith the Lord, I can make it something new. But I'm not dealing with you in the past. I'm dealing with you now. And so here's what God wants us to experience. He wants us to experience the things, wants you to see what you've never seen. He wants to take you to the place where you've never been. Not where you've been, you know, not the plains, not the ones where you were with Lot, but things ahead that you've never been. And Lot told him, walk the length and breadth of it. I'm going to give it to you. And so I pray today, I say, Lord, you know, show me things that I've never seen. And take me to places where I've never been. You know? And more importantly, make me over. Hallelujah. This potter, he made the clay over. Now, you've heard me say these things time and time and time again. Even the last few days, I've said the same things. Why is God sending me here to say it again? Well, because God's not dealing with you in your past. God is able to show you something new, even in spite of the errors, mistakes, the past, the failures, the disappointments, the losses, you know, and so forth. But he wants you to do something. It's something you must do in order for you to see something new. In order for you to experience this new horizon that's on the north, the east, the south, and the west, you must do something new. Hallelujah. You know, you must lift up your eyes and you must see and look. Now you must see big. You must see bigger. You must dream big and you must dream bigger. And you visualize even more. The Lord said, what you see is what I'm going to give you. But first you have to see it though. If you don't see it, I'm not going to give it to you. But what you can see, if you can see it, I can give it to you. Well, so Abraham had to come out and look around. Well, he had to walk around. He had to look around. And he said, well, you know, I can see this far, you know, but I got to get, you know, I'm going to get there. So his faith, when the Lord spoke to him, caused him to look all around. And he's believing day by day eventually got him there. Praise the Lord. So God has spoken once and twice have I heard this. That it is time for you to go forward and leave the past alone. Some of you have heard it more than once. You know, and move forward. God wants to show you something, but it's from right where you are. God's dealing with you in the present and not in the past. Praise the Lord. Now, he's dealing with individuals. He's even dealing with the church. It's all something new. He said, I will do a new thing and I'll declare it unto you. And shall you not know it? Well, he's declaring it unto you now. What is the new thing that God may show you this year? What new thing? You know? Now, if you've had it before, then it's nothing new. So that's the punchline for today. If you've experienced it before, then it's not new. That's right. So God's got to exceed that which you have experienced before. And all these stories that we told, I mean, Elijah, before he was physically carried away in the chariots of fire, he had experienced, you know, supernatural transportation. Because on the day that he wanted to go and show, you know, himself to Ahab, after all the years of famine and so forth, and he went to show himself to Ahab, you know, and there was a young man that saw him, And he said, well, go tell Ahab and so forth that I will meet him here. And the man said, why is it that you are trying to kill me? This Ahab man had taken an oath of every place that said Elijah was there. And if he came there and didn't find Elijah there because the Spirit of the Lord had called him away, he destroyed that place. Now, if I go tell him that you will be here, why do I put my life in jeopardy? Because by the time I come back, the Spirit of the Lord would have caught you away. So Elijah was always constantly experiencing this thing. People even knew it. But Elijah said, today I will show, fear not, I will show myself to him. But later on, he experienced something new. He wasn't just going to disappear from one place to another. He was going to get a chariot of fire visitation. It was something new. Now, you must and you will experience something new. It's part of the quantum leap. It could be that he would do it in such a way that it would be so rapid that it would blow your mind. Now, that can be something new. But it will be something new. Otherwise, it's not new. It's not even new for you, you know, to get a raise. That's not new. You've got a raise before on your job if you're working for someone else. That's nothing new. You've done that before. Even if you walk through the agency or do this or that, they give you this job or there and that one. You've done that before. Been there, done that, nothing new. But in order for you to experience something new, and in order for us to be able to call it new, it has to be something new. And the Lord said, look, I will do a new thing. You know, the Lord has the capacity to compute things that we can't even figure out. You know, because you can say, well, you know, how many ways can you do this? Well, that's you. The Lord, he can compute it and it'll come out a totally different new way. But he wants you to come out, you know, of the rot, you know, that you say, well, you know, I have nothing going for me and so forth. He said, look, forget the things of old. Forget the former things. I'm dealing with you in the now. I want you to come out here and look around you. Glory to God. But you have to see it by faith. Or you sometimes say, well, I don't see anything. You know, one man, you know, servant of Elisha, you know, one time he said, you know, there's a lot of people come out to arrest us. And Elisha said to him, don't worry about it. They that are with us are more than they that are against us. And the man said, I don't see anything. All I see is you, me, and a few of these our donkeys that we have here. You know, who else is here with us? And the man of God said, Lord, open his eyes that he might experience something new. And my goodness, now that man never experienced that. And of course, you know, it really wasn't new to the man of God. He knew that. He saw it. But his servant never experienced it. But in one moment, he experienced something new. He saw chariots of fire all around them. Glory to God. Now, so we are going to experience something new. I don't know what it is for you. You may not know what it is. But if you've experienced before, then it's not new. And God has to bring something new. Now, from the place where you are, I pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ that the Lord will give you the grace to look ahead, to look to the left, to look to the right, to look all around you. And the Lord said, what you can see, I will give you. So see bigger, think bigger, dream bigger even, in order to experience bigger. And you've got to have it. You got to also want it. But you got to, more importantly, believe it. These are the elements that will get you there. to hear the word of promise, your faith may see it afar off. But your daily believing is what's going to get you there. Here's a new word of promise for you today. It's not really new, but that's the word for today. Behold, I will do something new. You know, so whatever it is, it's got to be new in order for God to call it new. If it's the same thing he's done before for you, then it's not new. But he can do it in a different capacity. That's right. And he can do it with a different intensity, and then that will be something new. But it cannot be exactly the same as what you've experienced before for it to be called new. Right. So we've experienced healings before. So it's not a new thing to experience healing. But perhaps you've not ever experienced this healing before. And this is something that has lingered, you know, but Lord said, I will do something new. Glory to God. And shall you not know it? Before you spring forth, I will even tell you of it. So Lord, we thank you for the promise of something new, even our lives. You know, God said, look, what this potter did with the clay, can I not do it with you? Your life that started out and got messed up, can I not make something new out of it? Glory to God. God is going to do that, ladies and gentlemen. Now, that's my lesson for today. Let's believe God for something new. Something new beyond what you've experienced before. Beyond the systems, the religious systems even, what they can offer. The religious system offered only condemnation to the woman that was caught in the middle of adultery. Now, she should not have been doing that, but neither should the man. But we don't see the man being brought here. But whatever it was, Jesus was going to bring something new. And he did. Praise God. And so may you experience the power of something new in your life. Even as you leave from this room today, expect something new. Hallelujah. And look and think bigger and see farther out. You know, that's why he says, enlarge the place of your tent. According to Isaiah chapter 54, lengthen your cords, you know, strengthen your stakes and do all of these things because I'm going to do something new. Glory to God. Bring your vessels, not a few, because I'm going to do something new. Thank you, Father. Do something new in our lives. Help us to experience this. Help us to believe God even greater every day. And I want to pray that you give us the wisdom to make the right choices. Don't look by your eyes only. You know, what Lot saw by his eyes, and he let the greed of his heart go after that. Well, that didn't turn out right. You know, so see by the eyes of the Spirit, not by your natural eyes only. And let's believe God for something greater and something new. The Lord promised it, call unto me, I'll show you great and mighty things which you don't know yet. Jeremiah 33:3. So that's where we are today. That's where we're believing God. May the Lord bless everyone that listened to this. I want to leave it like right there for today. And I trust the Lord will continue to encourage us every day. This is a year, the year of the quantum leap. And we need encouragement. We want to make sure you don't forget what the Lord has promised and how your believing is going to get you there. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.